Don't say.
The Disciplined Investor is all about you, your money, and the markets. Sit back and get ready for this edition of the Disciplined Investor Podcast.
This episode of the Disciplined Investor is sponsored by Horowitz & Company. If you're looking for a portfolio manager, look no further. Horowitz & Company, from seed through harvest, cultivating financial success.
Hey, and welcome to the Disciplined Investor Podcast. Andrew Horowitz here, and it is getting towards the end of the year. Merry Christmas, Happy Hanukkah, Happy New Year. We're all the way to episode number 243, and right now, as you're listening to this, I'm probably down, doing a little diving down in Curacao. I recorded this a couple of days before I left on the late part of, actually, the end of Friday, and there's lots that went on. We're not going to have a long show today because I'm going to take it a little bit easy this week. I'll come back and we're going to find out who the winner of the actual favorite guest of the TDI podcast for our listeners. Already we've had a lot of people that have voted. Actually, I'm going to take a look right now at what the current votes are telling us. Just go over to the, I'm going to do it right now. Go over to the disciplinedinvestor.com. And check out, we'll put the, make sure the page is on top. And there's a little thing that says, hey, who's your favorite guest? And right now it looks like, of course, Das seems to be way up on the top. He always seems to be a really well-liked and a listener favorite all the time. And then you have Peter Schiff as well. He's all the way up there as well. And you also have, we're looking pretty good here. Wow, interesting here. Well, I'll let you see it, and you go check it out to find out who is your favorite podcast guest for the year. And then what we're going to do is we're going to bring them back and have them on and tell them they won this great prize of whatever it may be. But you should definitely do that right now over at thedisciplinedinvestor.com. Now, we talk about a lot of things here the last number of weeks. If you recall, we had on some great guests. Again, Peter Schiff was on. We had all the way from over in Europe, in the UK, we had Ambrose Evans Pritchard from the Daily Telegraph, who he told it like it was, didn't he? I mean, I really enjoyed that particular show myself. And then, when you look back even further, we talked about all the things that are going on, the McClellan oscillators and occupying Wall Street. Next year, we're going to do a lot more of the same. We're going to have some of leading guests, and we're going to have both a mix-up and a kind of a mash-up of both the ideas of, okay, here's some good practical and technical advice of what you can use, and here is some more economic insight. Here's some, some other things, for example, that may be specific to a stock or a gold, et cetera. So we're going to kind of have that all as well. But let's talk about some of the things that are really, I think, making some of the more important things to look at right now. I think by everybody, I've been talking to colleagues for a long time about this. This overall psychotic, manic market action is something that's really stressing out investors, but not so much to make them fearful. Because I think a lot of investors have decided, especially on the retail side, to say, you know what, I'm not sure I really want to do this. I really don't want to be involved in this because it's just, well, it's distasteful, it's difficult, it's there's no sense can be made out of it. And to a degree, that's true. At the same time, when we look at things like the VIX index, everybody's mystified how the VIX index is just trickling down and down and down, especially with 2 and 3% days in the markets in the U.S. Now, if you go back and you take a look at what really is occurring of late, frankly, a lot of the volatility over the recent, we'll say 2 weeks, 3 weeks, has somewhat died down. Yeah, we're seeing those 1% swings, maybe even 2% overnight. But are we really seeing those 4 and 5% moves right now? Well, not really. And will they come? Well, if they do, you'll see the VIX clearly spike. So the VIX can be used as a daily mechanism. That's what we did for our clients. We'll be using it as a daily mechanism to ride the wave of whether it's a down day to begin with and then the kind of trend days up, and you can add some VIX there or take it off, if you will, Or on the other side, what you can do is you can actually, if it's an up day and a trend day down, or again, whatever this scenario is, you can move in and out of it throughout the day. The danger comes in the overnight holds, because if you saw what happened on Thursday night over in China in the Shenzhen index, it was about, I think I looked at a chart, it was about exactly at about 1:20 in the morning. And out of absolutely nowhere, it was down about 1%. The Shenzhen market went up about 2.8%. I mean, in like a vertical fashion. Now, the excuse that was given was that there's speculation that there'll be some kind of stimulus. Now, that's great. But are you telling me that everybody decided to buy in right at that moment? No, that's kind of crazy. Was it the machines that turned on? Well, probably. There was probably a low point somewhere in there, some kind of support point, some kind of a level that they saw that started the machines up, started the players that have kind of the high frequency type of fund, or maybe their investments advisors that had some kind of a view. If we start to see a little bit of a turn up, we're going to, you know, blast into this because it's so low at this point. But at the same time, it's also probably end of year positioning. It's end of week positioning. It had one of the worst weeks it had since, I don't even know what year, down 7.5% on the Shenzhen index before it did a 3% U-turn. So it was about, for the week, it was down about 4.5%, 5%. Still a bad week. But at the same time, you have to look at some of the things that are coming out. First of all, we did see downgrades of major banks in the U.S. by Fitch and Moody's. Fitch came out also with downgrades across the board for Belgium and a variety of countries. But France, AAA, with negative watch. We're still waiting for S&P to come out by any day now. They're going to come out with their particular ratings. And I wonder if that's going to be, as crazy as it sounds, I want you to think about this, a buy the dip, or I should say, sell the rumor, buy the news, right? Same thing. And this event probably is going to be something like that, because right now it looks like that the governments have done a great job at absolutely disparaging all of the companies, Fitch, Moody's, S&P, on their ratings and saying, hey, that crap. Well, wait a minute. You can't have it both ways. You can't say that the ratings companies are crap and they're just not to be trusted and you can't use them, it's not reliable, and at the same time fault them for not finding out early enough about what was going on with the securitization of bonds through banks. Can't do that. They want it both ways. So again, it's all about really how much the various countries are going to have to pay on their debt, and they don't want that to go higher. We did see a nice spike down or a drop, and we actually put some charts up on the Disciplined Investor about this. We saw a drop in the overall rates and the yields for most of the countries throughout Europe last week, and a very, very significant amount of narrowing of the cost factors when they're looking at the euro dollar. Remember I talked about how the 3-month euro basis swap, euro dollar basis swap, is really important to look at when it's over 100 or negative 100. It's a real problem. When it's over negative 150, it's a watch out. Well, it was about negative 147 again at the beginning of the week last week, and then it finished the week at about negative, I think about 116 or so. That's a good move. That means that there's some additional, trust factor between the various institutions that are lending to each other. So I think that's important to look at. I still think there's a gigantic, monumental disaster over there. And it's unfortunate, but we've all gotten to the point that this, we don't even listen to the European leaders anymore, because everything they say has been absolutely, at best, fraudulent. You know, telling us that there's all this money available. Juncker did it again. He said, we got another whole bunch of money going to the IMF. I mean, come on, guys. One says that you don't want to use the IMF as a conduit vehicle, and another says you're using it. So get your stories together, then come out and talk to us. I don't want to hear it otherwise. But that's why it's so important right now, and I had a great conversation about this today. It's so important to look at the technicals in this kind of environment, because, you know, and sometimes it takes a little bit of a kick in the head to get that through, and I'm one that knows. I mean, it's kind of hard sometimes to say, well, let's just use technicals over this or use fundamentals over that, but sometimes you just have to do it. And what we have found right now is there is this very interesting rotation, and you probably just pull up a chart and you'll see this. You buy, I mean, this is silly, but I'm going to tell you what it means in a moment. You buy the dips, you sell the rips. Okay, well, what does that mean? Well, that means that there is a desire to Look for bargains, whether or not it's a good stock or not, or a, you know, market or not. Look for bargains, and when they're there, scoop them up until it doesn't work anymore, and then just get rid of it. So if you buy something that's kind of scooping down, look what happened to Cena on Friday. Cena went down about 7% because there was a news item about the government in China was going to clamp down on their Weibo service, which is the Twitter-like service. And this has been a big concern for a while. Stock was down close to 7%. And then mid-afternoon just turned around and started climbing. I don't mean just climbing. I mean breakneck speed climbing till point mid-afternoon, late day was, I don't know, up 3% or something like that. And why does that happen? Because there's just no regard, first of all, for risk. Second of all, there's just absolutely no regard for you know, the fundamental story and all that, because it just doesn't matter. Seriously. That's right now. It will matter one day. But we've gotten so used to a catastrophe, a global financial meltdown, that a company's information piece that may be just light on earnings doesn't seem like a big deal. Joy Global came out with earnings last week, and they were just, you know, it was kind of a rough number, and there's some concern. And again, they were saying how, you know, I got to tell you something. Rough environment out there, et cetera, et cetera. Stock sold off dramatically. The next day it comes back up like 4% from a, you know, a 5%, 6% drop. Take a look at what happened with Athena Health. Here's a good example. Athena Health comes out on Thursday with some discussion about their outlook and a major issue about how they're going to have a shortfall. And they're kind of a serial disappointer at this point. And the numbers look good overall, but again, they're just not on the right track where they should be. Stock drops 34% in a matter of, 15 minutes on the news, and then starts making a climb back. Finishes the day only down about 15 only. Next day, tries to make a nice run of it, and then it gets stalled and starts turning. But here's the thing. We even did this. We even picked up at the bottom what we saw that was like the worst case scenario that we thought where the stock can go to. Within about 1% of the bottom, we picked up some shares, and then sold it for about a 10% or 7%, somewhere around that gain, very quickly. It'd be better if we held it for a while, but that's not a stock that we want to hold, too volatile. But we will trade it. And that's what's going on in a really big picture right now. So when you don't understand what's going on with the markets, if you say, what in the world? How do I explain this? I don't understand this. It doesn't make any sense to me, which is something I've said quite often lately, which is something that many of my colleagues have said quite often lately. Then you know. Here's the answer. The answer is that it is a trading environment for the hedge funds. It's a trading environment that is illiquid and pushing things around dramatically. And where you see something that sells off dramatically, again, whatever that is, and you find the points that make sense for support, that's where they're being bought into. Whether it's something like a 50-day moving average or a 200-day moving average, what's happening is that you're seeing a dramatic shift in the buyers versus sellers almost on a, we'll say every other day, every 2 day basis. So what's happened also is that a lot of people are getting sucked into 1 and 2 day moves. So you see that 2 days in a row, markets are down, you know, maybe this is the time things are going to start moving lower. Or on the other hand, things are looking great. And you say, maybe this is the time things are going to break to the top. And then, you know, it doesn't happen and you got to sell out. It kind of exacerbates the circumstance. Bottom line is that the economics in the U.S. actually look better. PPI was flat, you know, to really not showing a lot of inflation, both on the core and on the excluding, the core excluding energy and food. And then also on the headline number. Both looked very good. Means that more stimulus maybe. Ooh. Yeehaw. We're all about stimulus. And then on top of that, we have the numbers on the unemployment came in at a multi-month low in terms of initial claims. Whether it was seasonality or not, I don't care. It's what it is. It can be seasonality both ways. And then you look at the manufacturing numbers like the Philly Fed and the Chicago. Those look better too than I expected. I got to tell you something. Surprising, because the HSBC number out of China comes in really, kind of negative, 49, which is a contraction zone. You see, the numbers out of Europe are just abysmal. And you can go on and on and on and look at all the things that are happening around the world. But yet somehow we are an oasis of beauty here in terms of comparative. Everything's comparison, right? You know, you got to look at what's relative here. But relatively, we're looking pretty good over here. At the same time, we're seeing a lot of warnings come out. You're seeing RIM earnings. Let's not even talk about that. That was just atrocious. Research in Motion comes out with their earnings. Oh, horrible. Absolutely horrible. It's just nothing to even be discussed. I mean, that was an obvious situation there. I'm surprised it's getting still decaying as it is. You'd think they would have a little base going on. But, you know, you see what's happening throughout. The Intel puts out an earnings warning. And, you know, it takes stocks down a little bit. Have you noticed this? And then it kind of pops them back up. The financials didn't even flinch on Thursday night when they were knocked down down a grade by Fitch. They didn't even care. It's like, yeah, come on, get me. Matter of fact, it's almost like when the ratings companies come out with their ratings, it's almost a signal to buy. We said in the beginning of the show, I said, you know, it's kind of like what happens is buy the rumor or sell the rumor, depending on how you want to look at it, and buy the news or sell the news. In these cases, it's like sell the rumor and buy the news. It happened. Think about it. It happened when the U.S. was downgraded. Meanwhile, the futures got just killed. Right? Remember that? When the U.S. debt was downgraded? Our bonds did a crazy thing. They went actually higher. Yields came down. People went rush for U.S. bonds. And at the same time, markets actually recovered and went higher because it was kind of a relief, I guess. Coming into the end of the year, anything can happen here. Positioning is going to be key. Sector rotation is important. And when you look at the overall markets right now, don't try to make too much heads or tails about it. Don't try to make too much sense about it. I wrote an article this week called "The Eco News Was Bad, but Was Good, But No One Really Cared." That was on Thursday. And on Friday, everybody's like, ah, things are better. Again, on when you look at the things like China's import and export growth, we put up a chart there. That's over on the Disciplined Investor. What you have is an interesting scenario where China's really just feeling the pressure from the increase in their yuan and the increase of their currency. Put up a monthly chart at the same time that showed that the 10-month moving average of the S&P 500 is above the S&P 500, meaning that the S&P is below its 10-month moving average. And that's usually a pretty bad sign for a cyclical bear market. But I tell you, the last couple of times I saw this, it broke in 2 months. So you got to kind of wait this out and see what happens by the end of the month. I also talked about the Spearman indicator, another contradiction. Spearman indicator, great indicator, showed a buy signal on late Wednesday. Well, you know, that, mid-Wednesday. So I think that it's important to kind of like look at all the situation that's going on and kind of bring it all in. But at the same time, don't get caught up into necessarily the whys right now. Just say, this is what's happening and go with that for the moment. Go with it till it doesn't work. Go with it till the point is that you think you've reached a particular level that's important, whether it's a stop on the downside or on the upside, whether it's a target price. And then move out. Try not to be totally reactionary. We had a stock that we own, Acorn, AKRX, and it is a healthcare stock. I talked about this on DH Unplugged. And last week there was approval of a potentially competing drug with another company, and Acorn sold off, and it was fast. Acorn went about a $10.50, $11 stock. It went from about $10.50, it looked like it was going to break out actually to the top end, and all of a sudden, next thing we know, it's under 10, 9, 8, 980, 970, I meant. And that was pretty ugly. Kept on going down, 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 down. And then it stopped, then it came back all the way, and then the next day later, it was back up again. Point is, though, that there's a lot of reactionary movement going on right now. And you need to, in a way, stay clear of that, and it's very difficult. You need to kind of like take a step back right now. That's very difficult. And, you know, you need to, again, to have a little bit of a longer-term perspective, or at least maybe not longer-term, but a bigger perspective of what's happening. And it's just a generic rebalancing, reorganization of assets, end of year, options expiration, all that's going on at once. It's making mishmash out of things, not to mention that we have the politicians doing what they're doing. So that's kind of like what I want you to take away and want you to think about for the rest of the year when it comes to those circumstances. I wanted to also mention that there's a couple of things that are going on that I think you want to take a look at. And I want you to, you know, it's kind of some things about next year that I think are important to think about. The first thing is that it's important to keep yourself educated, right? So you need to make sure that you have some good quality, whether it's a book or whether it's magazines or whether it's a newspaper that you have kind of some respect for and that you can reference. I like Investor's Business Daily. I get the digital download. Kind of cool. I read Bloomberg Markets and Bloomberg Business Week, Wall Street Journal. I mean, you know, whatever your choice is, make sure you stay on top of things. Make sure you use good news sources. Okay. The other thing is, you know, how do you get a real, I guess, an edge on things? You know, we've been kind of wondering that too and thinking, all right, what can we do to figure out where those points that institutional investors will be buying or selling, right? We talked about Sina, how it kind of all of a sudden hit a bottom and then whoop, there it goes up, or where all of a sudden will break down out of nowhere. And okay, there are certain areas that can be marked by looking at a variety of information, but we have a group that we've been working with to come up with it's not done yet, so it's kind of a sneak peek, a subscription where you'll know breakouts and breakdowns on particular stocks. So, you know, we'll find on a daily basis stocks that have a breakout potential, you know, that maybe have some short interest that are getting past that point where the short interest will blow out and pop their stops. And we're going to have that available in a couple of different measures and an earnings report, what you need to know before earnings, what the potential price ranges are, because earnings seem to be a great place to pick up some money, you know, and you need to know where those price levels are, what the earnings should be. And we've kind of developed a really cool calculation algorithm to come up with what exactly is supposed to be what is the street looking for? And then what happens with the price after, and what's happened previously in history when the company, you know, met or beat their number or failed. So you'll hear more about that. I don't know if, you know, we'll find out what the interest is on that. I'm pretty excited about it. We've had actually some talk about, already we're getting interest from, when you know it, Latin America and Asia on this, which I thought was interesting. And we'll do something, that's going to be real time and it's going to be actionable. That's what we're doing. There's like three or four different things we're working on in the background, putting together. And hopefully in the first quarter, we're going to be able to announce really what's going on with that. I think it's going to be really interesting. And I also want to remind you, the other thing is, you know, we have three different podcasts. The Winning Investor, which has just a backlog, hundreds of tips, 5-minute tips that you could check out. Go over there to iTunes or to The Winning Investor. Just type it in your Google and you'll find that. DH Unplugged, we always have stocks that we talk about. There's a stock list that's over at DH Unplugged that we talk about each and every week. We track that on Google, and that's something that I want you to take a look at. And again, we are going to have a wonderful slew of guests. We're going to try to get a lot of new names on there. If you have any names that you want us to take a look at, somebody you know, somebody you don't know, somebody you want to get to know, send it in to us. Just write askandrew@thedisciplinedinvestor.com. And you could always have that opportunity. We'll see if we can get them. I don't know. We try. Usually we have some pretty good luck with the people that we want. They recognize the name and they like the format, so that's pretty good. I guess, and finally, the thing I want to mention to you is that it's starting a new year, and oftentimes during a time when we're looking to make resolutions and we're wondering, hey, what can I do different? I'll mention to you that over the last year I've been dieting, and I lost a very significant, I mean, almost like 65 pounds in the last 12 months. So if you're thinking about dieting, you could do it. I'm sure of it. If you're thinking about getting a new career, I bet you could do that too. I know it's tough out there, but you know what? You'll figure out a way, whether you're going to have to work double hard at finding names to call in terms of the potential recruiters or the employment agencies, or maybe even the people that are in charge of hiring at the business, or just, you know, networking through LinkedIn or whatever it is. I'm sure you could do that too. Be a better husband or a wife or a parent or a child. And I'm not trying to get too mushy with you, but I just want to tell you, you know, this is the kind of time of the year where you need to reflect on a lot of things. You know, what did I do right? What did I do wrong? I do that every year. I'm not a really big fan of resolutions, I'll be honest with you. I don't, resolutions are meant to be broken, as it seems to me. It's something we kind of do in the haste of making something to do for New Year's. I like to kind of make some plans, rather, and stick to the plan. and then measure myself and then figure out what's going on. So next year, what we're going to do here is we're going to have a little bit of a different format for our monthly client letters, for example. And we've already committed to a new format for our quarterly letters, the economic commentary that comes out of here. We're going to actually start looking at some other things, like I said, some subscription services that people have asked us for. So these are kind of things that we're working on, and we kind of got that prep before the year started. If there's any of those, you know, stocks in your portfolio that are just lousy, maybe it's a good time to rethink those. Maybe if you're not understanding where to find stocks or you're having a hard time, well, maybe it's go to a different website or find out a different newsletter or, you know, get a different advisor. I don't know. There's so many different things that you could do in this area and to help your life. You know, if you can't sleep at night thinking about your portfolio, or if you're just having a really rough time, well, maybe it's time to rethink the way that you're, you know, going about investing. You know, if you're going short when you should be long, when you're long you should be short, which is not very difficult to do these days. I mean, it's easier to get it wrong right now than it is to get it right. Just think about it. And make sure, if nothing else, you tell a couple of friends to subscribe to the Disciplined Investor Podcast. I'd really appreciate that. Also, I'd really appreciate it if you gave a review over at iTunes. We have a bunch right now. Not just a check mark with a rating, but a review, an actual review. Put a few words down. I'd like to see those. I appreciate that. Well, I told you it's going to be a short show. We have a lot of things that I'm going to be writing about, and we've actually, Kevin and myself, and we're going to, we put together a few different things for next week. And of course, next week's podcast will be there. We'll definitely cover everything before the end of the year, time for Christmas and all that. I'll be back for that. But I just want to mention to you that you definitely got to check out the Disciplined Investor this week. We're going to have a lot of good things on there. That's the website. And when we come back next week, we're going to kind of wrap up some ideas. I'm going to give you 10 stocks that may be really great for the next year. And I'm also going to give you a couple more ideas that I think you can work with and give you a layout of who won the contest of my favorite guest, your favorite guest, and lots more. I hope you have a wonderful week. Thanks for letting me take off a little bit earlier than usual. I'm going to refresh, recuperate. I'll be working the whole time anyway. I enjoy it. We have Wi-Fi, right? So why not? Until then, thanks for joining me. Andrew Horowitz here. Have a great week. Bye-bye.
The Disciplined Investor Podcast is sponsored in part by Horowitz & Company, a registered investment advisor and money manager. The information presented in this podcast is not intended to be used as the sole basis of any investment decisions, nor should it be construed as advice designed to meet the investment needs of any particular investor. Some discussion contain forward-looking statements which are based on current expectations, and differences can be expected. The Disciplined Investor's host, Andrew Horowitz, is a certified financial planner and registered investment advisor regulated by the SEC. None of the information presented should be construed as an offer to sell or buy any particular security. As always, use your best judgment when investing.